Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as usual, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there, everybody.
All righty. You know, we have a lot of energy going into today's
podcast. I tell you, there's nothing like a live show to get you pumped up for 2 hours of podcast recordings.
Really?
Please, someone kill me.
So you're rethinking that, huh?
I'm always rethinking.
Okay, then.
Okay, so, but yes, we were talking about energy. Well, that kind of leads into our topic for today. We wanted to talk a little bit about wireless power and whether or not it's actually possible.
Uh-huh.
And it is.
Okay.
So I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of... we're going to go into a little more detail than that. Now, wireless power, this is not a new idea by any stretch of the imagination. It actually dates back almost as far back as the transmission of electricity itself.
What, like 5-10 years ago?
More than that.
Oh, okay.
Going a little further back. All right.
So you're going to talk about our buddy, aren't you?
We are. We are going to talk about your friend and mine, Nikola Tesla.
Who is apparently number 9 on the top 10 inventors of all time.
Yes, he is number 9 on top 10 inventors of all time.
I'd like to see this list.
This is an inside joke that no one outside of like 5 people are going to get, but that's okay. So Nikola Tesla. Tesla was the father of the alternating current.
Yes.
And in fact, Tesla invented many things. He was a brilliant, brilliant man who kind of suffered a little bit of a breakdown in his final years, actually died penniless despite the fact that he invented alternating current. In fact, he had a famous rivalry with Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, of course, the inventor of direct current. And Tesla actually managed to land a lucrative deal, in a way. He landed the chance to provide electricity to the World's Fair in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a big deal. I mean, of course, that, the entire world's attention was directed on this city. And so Tesla, very well, he's famous for a lot of things involving electricity for a good reason. But one of the things he's also famous for is something that still comes up in debate in scientific circles as to whether or not he was brilliant or crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the idea of broadcasting electricity.
Yeah, that's that seems a little weird, especially in our very, very wired world. I mean, you know, you think wireless, you're thinking, you know, Bluetooth.
Radio waves.
Or, you know, Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Maybe a little Marconi style, you know, over the air FM.
Yeah, something like that. You
not
don't
electricity.
Yeah, you don't necessarily think electricity. If you're thinking over the air electricity, you're thinking lightning.
Right.
But you may have heard of these devices known as Tesla coils.
Oh, yes.
Which can put off quite a bit of electricity, some high voltage electricity.
And can even be used as musical instruments.
Yes, Architect does a great act with Tesla coils creating music. But
just don't get in the way.
No, unless you're in a Faraday cage, stay far away from the Tesla coils because they could kill you. So yeah, it's for the well-grounded audience. But one of the things that Tesla tried to create was he did this project in Colorado. It was Wardenclyffe was the name of the project. It was this enormous Tesla coil tower, and the idea here was that he was going to use the resonance of the Earth to broadcast power throughout the atmosphere, and this would eliminate need for infrastructure like cables and wires.
Mm-hmm.
It never really worked. The part of the problem was that he ran out of money midway through the project. His investors pulled out when they thought that he was being depending on who you ask. Some people say they pulled out because they thought he was crazy. Other people say that they pulled out because they were worried that it was going to affect other financial endeavors down the line.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that there'd be no way to monetize this because Tesla would have found a way to provide energy essentially for free.
Right.
And that did not make people happy who, you know, depended upon energy as a means of making money. So depending on who you ask, they either thought he was crazy or they thought they were going to bankrupt him. And they pulled out and he was unable to finish his project. There were reports that he had supposedly been able to light several light bulbs that were 26 miles away from his tower.
Mm-hmm.
But that's unsubstantiated. At any rate, Tesla kind of comes up with this idea about broadcasting power. It never really comes to fruition. He dies penniless.
Mm-hmm.
And then no one's really able to necessarily replicate Tesla's ideas. He didn't leave very good notes. So it makes it very difficult to try and figure out exactly how he was designing this and whether or not it would work for realsies.
Yeah.
That's actually a technical term.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, that's one of the things that makes him so much fun to study is that he is so enigmatic.
Yeah.
And, you know, hard to duplicate the experiments and just that whole, you know, Tesla mystique. Plus, it's, you know, electricity. I mean,
yeah.
Seriously.
And he did have cool. He did have some very well-documented quirks. He did have some signs of obsessive-compulsive disorder. He was frequently washing his hands, and he didn't like to touch other people. And he also reportedly suffered from hallucinations, very vivid hallucinations throughout his life. And so there are other elements to his psyche that bring into question, you know, how sane his ideas were toward mm-hmm. the end of his life.
Mm-hmm.
However, we now skip ahead, and wireless power is a reality. There's with limitations.
Well, it's funny because people, this was all the rage at CES a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, talking about this new way of charging up your cell phone or your iPod by, you know, laying it down on a mat instead
right.
of plugging it into the wall. And
exactly.
everybody was talking about how cool this idea was. And it is cool. Absolutely cool. At least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to mess with, your wiring and finding the right adapter. You could just lay it down and it's charged. But,
you
know,
have to
it's
worry
funny
about
because
snagging it and knocking the phone off the counter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Or the cat, you know,
knocking the cat off the counter. Oh, the cat knocking the phone off the counter. I got it now.
So anyway, actually, I suppose you would. I mean, if it's not tethered to anything, then it's going to hit the floor. At least it with the cord
right,
is dangling. Anyway.
Yeah, you're not going to get caught on the cord.
Anyway, with the Tesla thing, you know, the whole putting it, that totally puts it into context. You go, wait a minute, if he was experimenting with this long ago, you know, maybe this isn't such a new thing, but there are different ways to transfer power this way. I mean, it is possible to do, especially over short distances, but it sort of depends on what you want to charge and how you're going to do it and how much electricity you actually need to ferry over from one side to the other.
Right. This isn't the same thing as broadcasting enough electricity to power your home. This is talking about very small, distances. Actually, usually it's a contact thing. It's wireless, but two different elements are normally in contact with one another.
Although not always.
Not always. No, we'll get to that. But the a common example is if you have an electric toothbrush that you would put into a little cradle, and that's what allows it to charge. And it doesn't plug in. It's, you know, the cradle is smooth and the bottom of the toothbrush is smooth, and you just stand it on the in the cradle and it charges seemingly by magic. But it's not magic. There are no leprechauns involved. It's simply
what about elves?
No elves. No, electromagnets.
Oh.
That's the only – no elves, but electromagnets are involved. So it charges through a process called induction. And it all depends on electromagnets. We talked about electromagnets not that long ago when we were talking about EMPs.
That's true. That's true. Basically, an electromagnet is a piece of iron wrapped with many, many, many times with a coil of copper wiring.
Right.
When you run a charge
through it.
That's
the basic form of an electromagnet, yeah.
When you run a charge through it, it becomes an inductor and creates a magnetic field around there.
Right. So if you were to take a nail and you were to wrap copper wire around it several times and then connect either end of the copper to a battery, you would create a magnetic field and you could pick up iron filings that way. Pretty much anyone in a physics class or even elementary school has done this sort of thing before.
Mm-hmm. But it has many, many other applications in the real world, of course. You've probably seen the videos of the junkyard where you've got the giant electromagnet that, you know, picks up a car and moves it from one stack to another or into the car crusher or whatever. Probably virtually one third of all cop chase scenes in the city end in somebody driving into the thing and getting their car picked up.
Yeah. The other two thirds, usually a pool.
That's true.
So, but yeah, so, and, yeah,
I'm kidding, but you know, that's the famous scene, and that's an electromagnet that people will be familiar with. Also, they're used in, the little sections under the roadway when you pull up to a stoplight. They detect your car using a similar mechanism.
Right. And so you can use electricity to create a magnetic field. Mm-hmm. What you might not know is you can also use a magnetic field to create electricity.
That's true.
And that's the basis of this inductor, this wireless charging technology that we're talking about right now. So within the cradle, that's the part that plugs into the wall. So you're drawing electricity from your wall. That is sending electrons through an electromagnet in the cradle. When you put the toothbrush in there, the toothbrush in its base has essentially another coil inside of it. The magnetic field will induce electricity within that coil and charge the battery inside the toothbrush.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for the cell phones, things of that nature, where it's based off the same technology, where you're using this magnetic field to induce electricity, and that in turn charges a battery.
That seems very simple.
It's actually a pretty simple concept. It's difficult to explain without graphics, so it's a little difficult to talk about it without looking at something. But
well, it was nice of you to hold up the drawing to the microphone so everybody listening can see it.
I hope you all appreciated that. It was I have a whole 3D model here. Look at this.
Oh man,
and this
amazing.
Side over here. Yeah.
Oh, no, that totally makes sense to me now.
I know, doesn't it? It's so clear.
Great.
So that's the main way we use wireless power right now. But there are other ways that people are working on that use a similar technology, but it's meant to transmit power in a larger area.
Okay.
So, for example, some guys at MIT are working on this coil that has capacitors at the end of it's. Think of it like a circle where you have one arc of the circle cut out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not a complete circle.
Right.
On either end of that arc, there's a little capacitor.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the coil wrapped around it. And the idea here is that by creating an, by running electricity through one of these, you create a magnetic field. And if you have another, device that, another, arc that resonates at that same frequency, you can broadcast electricity in a greater area. It's because it's depending upon not just the magnetic field, but resonance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can get the two objects to resonate, excuse me, to resonate at the same frequency, you can broadcast power.
Yeah. Basically it's that, that's sort of, I think if you're, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're talking about radio charging. And that,
yes.
And that does have to, that does mean that they have to match up. And that, actually, our managing editor, Julie, sent us an article not too long ago about that very thing. Nokia is working on a technology in one of their United Kingdom offices. According to The Guardian, this technology would basically use frequencies 500 megahertz to 10 gigahertz, which is the same basically as area of which you'd find wireless LAN, Bluetooth, mobile phones, microwave ovens. It would convert electromagnetic energy into electrical energy. Right now it can handle about 5 milliwatts. They're trying to get 20, but 50 would be really powerful enough to recharge a cell phone battery. And then thereby you wouldn't even need to worry about plugging in your phone or finding an induction pad on which to place your phone when you get home.
Yeah. So you can, with one of these systems, if you were to perfect it, you could have a single powered coil that provides enough of a magnetic field to charge multiple objects all at the same time. So you could have like a room in your house, which was the charging room. And, you know, you just leave your camera and your phone and MP3 player, whatever in there. And then they charge just based upon the power being drawn by that one coil. So it's a pretty cool idea, and it's not the only way that we can do wireless power. There's another way which involves microwaves.
Oh?
Yeah, you can beam microwaves at a rectifying antenna, or a rectenna, if you prefer. It's not a joke. It really is a rectenna.
I'm not treating it as a joke. It's just funny to me how people like to combine words and make new ones.
Yes, it's
that's catchy.
Yes, it is. You know, it's... Yeah, every business has to have its own jargon. So, if you, a rectenna can accept incoming microwaves, convert it into electricity. And, this could become very useful if we can perfect a way of gathering energy in outer space to beam down to the Earth. Cause when you think about it, a lot of people would imagine the Earth as a closed system. You're getting only so much energy out of the environment, but it's not really a closed system because you've got sunlight coming in all the time.
Oh yeah.
But
no kidding.
Beyond that, if you were able to create, say, a satellite that had solar cells on it and could collect sunlight without the interference of atmosphere and then beam that energy some way down to the Earth, you would suddenly have a very, a useful form of, you know, unending energy. Now, there are some problems with it. I mean, obviously, you have to create a device that can beam a microwave beam at a very specific location. You have to have the antenna there to pick up the beam. Some people are worried about the idea of microwaves hitting the Earth all the time. There was a discussion of possibly putting an entire solar farm on the surface of the moon. But, of course, the moon is not always facing the same part of the Earth all the time. So in order to get the beam to the right set, antenna, I suppose either you could build a series of antennas or you would have to have some sort of reflective satellite network so that the beam hits a satellite and that in turn beams it to another satellite until you have a direct line of sight on the proper antenna and then you could beam the energy down to Earth. So it's not, obviously, it's not the most perfect system. Also, another problem is that if anything were to happen to the solar panels on the moon, you'd have to have some way to fix them. So there's a good chance that you would need either some sort of really advanced robot or more likely some sort of lunar base in order to maintain the solar panel farm. Otherwise, you know, something goes wrong and then suddenly your perfect source of energy is no longer so perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's funny because you talk about things like, can we convert electromagnetic spectrum into electrical energy? Well, you know, light from the sun carries quite a bit of electromagnetic energy, and we use solar panels to do just that.
Yeah, so they're not terribly...
We don't think about that as being the same kind of thing, but that's...
It's kind of the ultimate in wireless power, because you think about all the plants that use the sun's energy. I mean, that's wireless power. But yeah, solar panels are not... The biggest problem we have with solar panels right now is that they're not as efficient as we need them to be in order to really get the most out of them. I think the efficiency is down in the teens or the 20s maybe. That's pretty low. That means that you're losing 80% of the energy that you could be harvesting if the technology were perfect.
But it has increased significantly in the past few years because they've done so much more research on it.
Yeah, and of course the push toward green technology over the last few years has spurred on even more research and development as companies see a way of possibly making a profit off of this.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got people who are willing to pay to make their lives more green and environmentally friendly. And once you start making sure that the whole process is economically viable, then usually the research and development quickly follows behind.
You know, I wonder
not,
if
not to be cynical, but
yeah, I wonder if the market for copper stolen from streetlights is going to drop if we switch to all inductive and all resonant and all
wireless
radio power.
I'm sure there will always be a market for jewelry that will turn your arm green.
I you know, you really are cynical today.
I'm just saying, I've got some nice jewelry that turns my skin green.
Okay, all right.
It's not as nice as it could be, I guess.
Well, see if I ever give you a penny for your thoughts.
So,
because you'll turn your thoughts green.
Talking about the microwave transmission again, just really quickly.
Okay.
One of the neatest potential uses I've seen for this technology is for an airplane that would never land.
That reminds me of a They Might Be Giants song.
Well, this would be an unmanned vehicle, obviously.
Oh, okay, good, because I was wondering what you were going to do, you know.
No, an unmanned drone, but it would have a rectenna on the plane itself,
mm-hmm.
and you would beam microwaves to the plane, and that would give it enough energy for it to maintain its flight. And if you were to have enough, you know, devices here to beam microwaves to it, it could fly indefinitely.
All right. So do you have anything else on wireless power today?
No, but I do have something else.
You do?
Yeah. I have a little listener mail.
Ooh.
This listener mail comes from Sergio. And Sergio says, folks, you said that Linux is a derivative of Unix, but Linux is a recursive acronym that stands for Linux is not Unix, just like GNU, which stands for GNU is not Unix. Linux may look and feel like Unix, but it is not Unix. It was mostly written from scratch, and the kernel probably shares little if no code with AT&T's Unix. This is all about patents, copyrights, and being free/open source. Regards, Sergio. Sergio, we totally understand where you're coming from, and we're not arguing that. What we were trying to get at is that Unix spawned Unix inspired Minix, right?
Yes.
Which was a project that a college professor created to create an open source operating system that people could fiddle with the code. And then Torvalds saw Minix, and that took from that the inspiration to create Linux.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's not a direct derivative of Unix. Unix inspired Minix, which in turn inspired Linux. We were kind of using shorthand in that particular episode, and it possibly in the process made it less accurate than it needed to be. At the time, though, we were worried about getting too technical and losing all the people who had never heard of Linux to start with. But thank you for writing in and keeping us honest.
Definitely.
And a couple of other people made the same sort of point, and we heard all of you. I just read Sergio's because it was a good representative email.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys have any comments you would like to make, any questions or suggestions, criticisms, that sort of thing, you can write us. Our email address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. You can read all about wireless power at howstuffworks.com, along with hundreds of other topics. And we will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new TechStuff blog, now on the HowStuffWorks homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf at Adam. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene! Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good!
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.